Today's reading is from John 1, verse 14 to 18, and we'll have a second reading from John chapter 20, from verse 21 to 22. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the only one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." And our second reading from John chapter 20. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Well, allow me to pray, and then we'll get going together this morning looking at this. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these words written. Holy Spirit, we ask you this morning to do that job of that image earlier today, be the highlighter on our hearts and our souls, that we might see how you are calling us to go and be your hands and feet in the places which we live and the places you're calling us to go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for your patience in reading two different bits of John's Gospel. All will become a little bit clear as we work our way through this morning. This morning, I've got two very big, simple questions. I'll pose a few questions throughout, but two big questions, simple as this. First question, how are you going? Second question, where are you going? How are you going? Where are you going? About 7 years ago, I had the privilege to be able to go to Israel for about 2 weeks. We went to different parts of Jerusalem, up to Nazareth, to Bethlehem, and we spent a couple of days in and around the Sea of Galilee. And this one particular day, where we were by the Sea of Galilee, we were in Capernaum, and I was sitting by the side of the lake of the Sea of Galilee, and I was sitting there, and I had this moment which will live with me to the day I die. Spiritually significant in so many ways. One of them was this. I was sitting there, and out across the Sea of Galilee, I saw the landscape. With the exception of just a few white roofs of the houses in the distance, everything I could see is exactly as Jesus would have seen it. When he went to Capernaum, there's countless stories of it in the Gospels. And I was struck in that moment. The Son of God, God sent to become flesh, dwelt amongst us, saw what I saw. And in that moment, I started recalling to my mind these very verses from John chapter 1. The Lord came and dwelling, made his dwelling among us. And that's completely changed my understanding of the incarnation. That's what the fancy word for that is. Again and again, as I read different parts of the Gospels, I'll never be able to escape that moment. But whether or not we ever get to go to Israel, I can highly recommend it if you ever get the chance. Do go. Even if you don't, I think this morning, I want us to get our heads around once again the reality that we celebrate at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, but which we should remind ourselves each and every day that God came to be flesh, like you and me. He ate, he slept, he walked, he cried, he laughed, he fought, he read, he questioned, he listened, he had friends, he had family, he could smell, he could see, he could hear, he breathed. And he breathed, as we read in John chapter 20, the gift of the Holy Spirit on his disciples. We read that Jesus came full of grace and truth as he came to dwell amongst us. His origin was with the Father. And John moves, you may have seen it in verse 14 and then verse 16. He moves from describing how we see the glory of God to then receiving the grace of God in verse 16. How he came was full of grace and truth. Not a bit of grace or mostly grace and a bit of truth. Full of grace, full of truth. Grace, as you see in John's gospel narrative, is something where Jesus gives in an abundance to different people. He gives it out freely, not seeking to receive anything in response to giving it, simply to show the Father's love for the different people he meets. Full of that, and he's also full of truth, in the sense of the reliability of his words and of his actions. He spoke truth. He testified to the truth. Of course, he said in John's gospel, he is the truth. And he embodied, because of that, the truth about salvation. Now, verse 15 in John chapter 1 is a helpful one because it helps give us a bit of broader perspective. The fancy word for that is parenthesis. Look up that in the dictionary later on if you want. If you read verse 14 and then straight into verse 16, you will see something different about the way John describes for us God's grace. Let me just read it, verse 14 and then straight into verse 16. The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. So as we think about that first question this morning, how are you going? To unpack that, we've got to understand, well, how was Jesus sent? How did Jesus go? And a few years ago, someone explained this illustration to me a little bit like this. I've got my snow shovel. I won't need it today with the sun outside. Jesus came in the fullest sense of grace and truth. And in the fullness of that, he gave an abundance of it to the different people he met. Shovel loads of grace. In grace, he went and fed thousands of people. There you go, have some of that. He saw the lame person. There you go, have some of that. Lazarus in the dead tomb. Hey, Lazarus, have some of that. When I revive you, bring you back to life. Grace upon grace upon grace. Shovel loads of it. Each and every day that Jesus walked and breathed on this earth. That's how Jesus went. That's how he went as he was sent by the Father. Grace upon grace. In grace, he gave us his Son. In grace, Jesus died on the cross to reunite us with himself. In grace, he sent the Holy Spirit as he breathed on his disciples. The reality is, this morning, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, the same grace that was given to Jesus is the same grace that is given to us each and every day. So the grace you need for today, don't worry, there's more of it tomorrow. Grace upon grace in place of grace. When we gather on Sundays, we're worshipping, we're glorifying God. We've seen his glory, but there's something extraordinary that happens as we're worshipping and giving him the glory. At the same time, we're receiving his grace by his Spirit. So when we leave here, we're different so that we might be different to those that we come in touch with. Grace upon grace. That's how Jesus was sent. Shovel loads of grace. He did it. He showed it, everything that he did and said for 3 years. That's how he came. So then let's consider in a moment how we can go. And that's why I deliberately chose chapter 20, verse 21, for two particular reasons. The first one is this: as the Father has sent Jesus, so he sends us. Hang on a moment. How did he send Jesus? Full of grace and truth. So what does that mean for us? We're to go and give grace upon grace to the different people that we see and meet. Second thing, to receive God's Spirit. Of course, we cannot do that in our own strength. We need God's Spirit to help us, work in us, work through us. That in itself is a gift of his grace. Infinite goodness, immeasurable abundance to give us and equip us for everything we need every single day. So in the knowledge of all of this, you can be assured tomorrow when you wake up, whatever tomorrow holds that you know about in this moment or that you don't have a clue is going to happen, tomorrow you wake up at 4 o'clock because the sun's so bright, it's breaking through your curtains. There's grace for you tomorrow. There's grace for you in your weakness. If you're feeling stressed at your wit's end at the moment, there's grace for you. There's grace, the very fact that you're breathing in this very moment as God gives life to us. What a gift of grace. There's grace in the fact that he sent his son to come and dwell amongst us, to restore you in grace to a relationship with him. The cross on display is where grace was shown at its fullest. Then we receive grace. Oh, what amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Isn't that amazing? A few nods. Okay, I'll keep speaking. It's amazing. Grace. Shovel loads of grace every single day. Thank you, Jesus. And then here's what we do. There you go, everyone. Have a bit of grace. Bit for you. Don't worry. I've got too much on at the moment, so just have a bit of this instead. I'm too stressed. It's okay, have a bit of that. We're willing to receive with the shovel, but we so often, myself included, we give with the teaspoon. The reality, of course, is we're flawed in our thinking. That's why Jesus came, to show us that we need his Spirit to help us. So often we make grace about me and myself. When we get the shovel, we're more prone, but yet we're more prone to give with the spoon. It means we've never really received with the shovel. We've only ever received with the spoon. Someone said it like this: what we give is a reflection of what we've received. What do you give to those around you? And if somebody's getting a spoon from me, it's not about them, it's about me. It's not saying something about the other person, it's saying something about me and my need to get over myself, Danny. We need to get over ourselves. God's grace in our lives is, among many, many things, a call to get over ourselves and receive it for what it really, really is. So this morning, my encouragement to you, please, HT, will you be a church, will you be a people of shovel receivers and shovel givers? How are you going? First question. To the degree to which God has given to us, we're able to then share it with other people. And you may be sitting here this morning, you're thinking, hey, well, hang on. Someone told me that that's not true. Or that I'm not worthy or worth it. Or I'm not enough. Or I'm not enough of this or not enough of that. Or I'm too much of this or I'm too much of that. I cannot simply go in the knowledge of God's grace. Reality check this morning is, if anyone's told you that, they're not God. God in Christ says you're worthy to receive not only his Spirit, which is a sign of grace, but grace upon grace every single day. So receive it, please, this morning, God's grace. Not in this measure, that's pointless. This, glorious. So as I'm going to allow that question to just permeate for you for the next few minutes, how are you going? I just want to share this morning a handful of stories of people in our church, of how they're being sent in their day-to-day lives. Not to say, hey, look at us, everyone. We've got it sorted. Not by any means. But just as a means this morning to hopefully, I pray, that it might encourage you, it might inspire you, it might give you an idea about how you yourself day-to-day can be sent. And that's for our second question this morning. Where are you going? First one is this. There's a young girl in our congregation who comes to our youth group, and she needed to start on her new course, and she needed a passport to verify her ID. Her parents have never owned a passport, so they don't know how to do it. They struggle with doing those long sorts of forms. And the college told this young person, if you don't get a passport or ID, you're off the course, and you can't do the job, the thing that you very desire to do. So our youth worker, Chris, some of you might know him, you've met him if you've come to Barnwell. Over a couple of months, in fact, he met multiple times with this young person, worked through the application. It was infuriating for him at times because the passport office sent the wrong thing back. Then they wouldn't do the thing in the right way. Communication wasn't given to him from the young person at different points because of different things. Grace upon grace. Patience is grace, by the way, when we show it to others. Another one, a young person, in the last couple of years, he's described that he's grown to a sense of belonging in the church in a way that he's never experienced before. So much so that a couple of weeks ago, he gave a talk at his CU at his sixth form. The first sign of him begin feeling as though he's able to share what he believes with those around him. A handful of people in our church, they've converted. They've been able to convert parts of their house, their living room, kitchen space, for the purposes of hospitality, so they can have more people over and be generous to them in that way. Another person, a mum at our church, they started coming back in the autumn, and they only come two Sundays. And they had sort of a very long distant frame of reference of faith and of Jesus. But as they came those 2 weeks, they were at the school gate, and I didn't know this at the time, they were at the school gate saying to everyone, you should come to church, it's great. Before she's even made a profession of faith. Another individual, one of the most generous people I've ever met, an individual who's on Universal Credit, lives on their own, and frequently they're seeking to try and be faithful to God's prompting day to day. So much so that he does it with his neighbours. His neighbours now come to him and ask for prayer, rather than him having to go and knock and say, how can I pray for you? And he's told me a funny story recently where a handful of... banana is his favourite fruit, by the way. That's for context of the story. Banana's his favourite fruit. And he doesn't often get bananas because he's trying to struggle to cover all different sorts of costs in his life. So I'm going to get a bunch of bananas. And on his way home from the shop, cycling along, he felt prompted by the Lord to give those bananas to a neighbour. And he was like, why, Lord? I've got my bananas. He goes, he's obedient. He gives the bananas to this neighbour. I thought you might like these bananas. The neighbour gratefully receives it and enjoys them. He then goes off to his home, this member of our church. And then a few hours later, still sort of saying, bananas, come on. I love bananas. Four or five hours later, a different neighbour completely turns up at his door, two handfuls of bananas. I thought you might like these. He didn't do it, of course, to get that. He didn't know that was coming his way. Something for him, he for sure has received that, and he for sure gives that. Another individual who cleans in one of the colleges at university, they may well clean at your college, I'm not sure. But they're seen as one of the college mums. And it was a few months ago where this individual came to me and said, people trust me now so much that someone recently just asked me to pray for them. I didn't know quite what to do, and I said, well, pray for them. There was a longer conversation about why that's good to do and what that how people see her in that space. Since then, she's been able to pray for dozens of people. I believe even some students as well. A couple of people in our church, they have given up a whole week of their annual leave from work to come and help at the holiday camp we run in the summer holidays. Another individual helps out with Beesham. and they make some of their work patterns flexible around being able to help and serve at Beesham. And then Love Barnwell, one recent example. If you came a few weeks ago, thank you for those who did come. Appreciate it was a busy time with lots of exams. But we did some painting that day and a bit of gardening. And I bumped into one of the individuals this last week and then the other person a week before. The first individual whose room was painted a very deep purple, with rollers and white cloths were completely ruined at the end of it. And some people did a bit of garden out the front as well. I bumped into him just this last week. He calls across the road to me, "Hello, Vicar." And I go over and start chatting. And then he goes, "I love my new space. It's not been that great in years. Thank you. And I even love the little flowers in the front garden. It makes my day every time I walk through my gate." So if you helped in that way, I'm here today to say thank you, because it's made a difference. And for those who painted the lady's house just a few doors along, we had to go back and finish it just this last week, did the wallpaper and put the curtain pole up. At the end of the time, I was just having a chat with her, and she was reduced to tears because she was so grateful for the love that we'd shown her. Physically not able to do much, struggles to get around, but being able to decorate her part of her house. It led spontaneously to a member of our church basically saying, "Can I come and clean your house? Because I can see you're struggling." Passports, house conversions, bananas, schoolgate chatter, prayers at work, annual leave, work patterns, decorating the garden. These are just some of the ways in our church that people are being sent. Where are you going? Who are the people you're going to in your day-to-day lives? Mission isn't and shouldn't just be to go to the other side of the world. Of course, Jesus needs people to do that from his church, to go and do that. But Jesus also needs part of his church to do it here in the now, and as we heard in the video before, to light a light where you are. To be sent as Jesus was sent. How was he sent? With this. Where we are, there he is. And where he is, there's grace upon grace. Not just for us and a call to get over ourselves, but for the people we come alongside. So will you share it? Will you share that grace that you've received? I don't know if you know this, but there is a bit of a history as well of people from HT having moved to Barnwell and come and live in Barnwell. The person who's preaching at our service this morning, he used to be a student here just a handful of years ago. There's people even before him who were students here about 7 or 8, 9, maybe even 10 years ago. They lived in Barnwell for a good number of years. Is that you? Could that be you? Would you want to come and join us in Barnwell? Come and live and move in Barnwell. If you'd love to do that, I'd love to have a chat with you at the end this morning. What about your neighbours? What about the people who perhaps live in your halls of residence or in your house? How's your home being used? How could it be used? Do any of your neighbours struggle to do particular things? Could you wash their car? Could you help them change their bike tyre if they don't have a clue what to do? Could you cut their grass or chop their hedge or trim parts of the weeds away? Could you do a load of shopping for someone? Could you offer to take them to the shop so they can do it for themselves? What about your colleagues if you've got a job? Where appropriate could you pray for those people? And if it's not appropriate, how could you bless people? How could you give them maybe an encouraging note? Could you bake them a cake if you're a baker? Could you stay behind those extra 15 minutes when you can see they're really stressed and you've got to go, but actually I'm going to come and help them? How could you bless them in significant ways? And maybe this summer, how could you help this summer? Is there a camp that you could go and help with if you've got time? Do you want to come and help at our summer camp week? I'd love to chat. There's lots of others elsewhere, not just in the city, right across the country. And if you couldn't do that, maybe you could go and volunteer at your local food bank. You could go and litter pick your local community. Whatever it is for you this morning, please don't fall into the trap, just like I'm going to land in a moment. Please don't fall into the trap of just taking a copy and paste job from what I've said. Thinking, oh, if I do a copy and paste job, I do that exactly like that. That means I've done what the preacher said. Stuart, the vicar, will be happy with me. Ben, my HT pastor, student pastor, will be happy with me. That means I've got it sorted. Please don't do that. Don't mishear me this morning. It requires the discerning of God's Spirit where he's leading you, to listen to what he's saying. Grace giving is perpetual. It isn't to just be a one day thing. It's not grace. It's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Grace giving requires us to remind ourselves of how much grace we've received. Shovel loads of it every single day. So this morning, those two questions. How are you going? Which one do you have as you go? And second question, where are you going? Or where could you go? To who could you go? Let's just pause. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let the dust settle and allow the Spirit of God to prompt something in your heart, in your life in this moment. We're going to hold a moment of quiet. I've said a lot. Now it's time for God to really speak to you in this moment. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for the grace that you give us each and every day. Help us in all that we do to be shovel loads of grace givers to those around us. Spirit of God, we need your help to do this. So help us where we need to get over ourselves and to come once again to the foot of the cross, where we can receive grace upon grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.